It's hard to think of a more important book at this very moment than the one written by my guest, Jonathan Shanzer. And that is Hamas versus Fatah, the struggle for Palestine. If you want to understand the difference, if there are, and that's what we're going to try to establish here, or what they are between Fatah, that is the general Palestinian Authority, and Hamas, this is the book. And I welcome you, Jonathan Shanzer, to the Dennis Prager Show.
Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'll tell you, as I said, your timing couldn't be better. I guess any time would have been a good time. But now in particular, people wonder what it is that Hamas stands for. So let me start with the very basic question. Are the differences between Hamas and Fatah deep philosophical values differences, or largely more policy or even just political power orientation?
I think, broadly speaking, it's really about gaining political power. There are a lot of things that the two organizations share. If you look at the charters, and you can find them both in English online, you will find that Fatah and Hamas both call for the destruction of the State of Israel. Both organizations were founded as terrorist organizations. Fatah is no longer seen as one by the U.S. government, but it was only a decade ago where it still was. Hamas, continues to identify itself as a terrorist organization and has been labeled for good reason as one. But really what you're looking at here are two different approaches to the way that both organizations would like to rule a Palestinian state. Hamas would like to do so through Islamism, the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood, and Fatah has a more secular, socialist, communist approach. But in the end, both are warring with each other for ultimately just the control of the Palestinian territories. The state is hard to come by these days.
All right, this is exactly what I assumed, although very few people assume it today. We've almost come to the point where Fatah are the good guys.
They are.
Isn't that right? Exactly. So I what has happened? Why the self-delusion? Because we want to believe that the enemy of my enemy, the enemy of Hamas, must be my friend?
Well, I think that they're the lesser of the two evils, but I don't think they're that much better. The State Department continues to look at Fatah as the more moderate faction because they have a longer-term view of the destruction of the State of Israel, whereas Hamas wants to engage in hostilities immediately. Fatah says, well, let's look at the destruction of Israel over time.
I mean, in Mahmoud Abbas's office, the picture of Palestine incorporates all of Israel.
That's exactly right, and that's what the Fatah organization has been preaching for many years. And this is, I think, one of the main reasons why we have been deluding ourselves here in the United States that there is one moderate Palestinian faction and one radical one. I think here in the United States, we are sensitive to Islamism. We're obviously alarmed over the growth of it across, around the world. And Hamas really embodies that. But Fatah is really not that much better. As I said, it is an organization that that grew and gained power through the use of terrorism starting in the 1950s all the way up to the end of the 1980s. They had about a 10-year break where they were engaged in a peace process. And then with the outbreak of the Intifada in 2000, went right back to terrorism. And I would say the only reason why they're not engaging in terrorism today is because they're just simply too weak and need the United States and Israel in order to stay alive.
And because of the barrier that Israel has created.
Absolutely.
It's just a lot harder.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot tougher to carry out.
Why did the United States remove Fatah from the terrorism list?
It's quite simple. Yasser Arafat, when he was alive, back in 1988, essentially elected to recognize the State of Israel in return for Israel and the United States establishing him as a leader of a Palestinian state that would accept the State of Israel. So as soon as he did that, as soon as he announced that he would accept the 1948 borders, this was a sign that, at least to the United States, that this was somebody that they could deal with. This was, of course, a strategy that backfired horribly on the United States when Arafat elected to choose war over peace in 2000, putting the Middle East back in the middle of conflict.
And right now, if, let us say, the the Fatah took over, the Palestinian Authority took over Gaza, what would change?
Well, you probably wouldn't see a whole lot of change in terms of rhetoric. You might see fewer rockets being fired into Israel for the short term. However, in the long term, I think it's pretty safe to say that unless peace were achieved immediately, you would see Fatah resume hostilities with Israel. It would just be probably under a different context. But one of the things that I explore in my book, Dennis, and I think it's worth noting here, is that if Israel succeeded in ousting Hamas in this current counteroffensive in Gaza and tried to put the Fatah organization in its place, this would not be seen as a legitimate government inside the Gaza Strip. Even though they were the rulers of the Gaza Strip, you know, a year and a half ago, the fact that Israel would try to put them in, they would be seen as some sort of an artificial heart. There would be a good, maybe a 50% chance of the Gaza population rejecting them simply because Israel wanted Fatah to be the governors of that area.
I have my own answer, but I want to hear yours. The argument is made by, for example, some New York Times columnists of the, called the boomerang, that what is happening because of the Israel's incursion into or invasion of Gaza, what is happening is that more and more Gazans are siding with Hamas and hating Israel.
Absolutely false. Absolutely false. What I would actually say is that you've got a number of Hamas fighters who are laying down their weapons in the field of battle right now because they realize that they cannot win. And broadly speaking, I think that's what many people in the Middle East respect. They respect power. When Israel failed in 2006 to conquer Hezbollah, this is what emboldened people. This is what brought people back into the terrorist fold. I think if Israel is able to send the message that anyone who joins Hamas will not have a very long lifespan, I think this is something that will resonate on the Arab street.
Why wasn't Fatah put back on the terrorism list in 2000 when they started more terror and a tremendous amount of terror?
This is, I believe, the same reason why, and you'll probably find this very surprising, many people do, the Taliban is not on the State Department's terrorism list. Why? Because many people at Foggy Bottom believe that they can work with the Taliban, that there is an opportunity there for diplomacy. And this is essentially why Fatah is not put on the terrorism list. In fact, you know, the United States continues to pump millions of dollars into the West Bank economy, despite the fact that the organization still wants to destroy the state of Israel and still has an armed wing called the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, which has been involved in hostilities even over the last few weeks in this war in Gaza.
I will continue. My answer, by the way, one of my answers to that question, well, they'll hate Israel more. How come the U.S. didn't think, or Britain didn't think, Germans will hate us more if we bomb them? Instead, what they did was turn against Hitler. It's a new mode of thinking. We'll be back in a moment. This important book is titled Hamas versus Fatah. It's up at PragerRadio.com, the blog area. I'm Dennis Prager. My guest is Jonathan Shanzer. The book is widely, widely praised, Hamas versus Fatah, The Struggle for Palestine. And it is listed at PragerRadio.com at the blog area. If you'd like to ask Mr. Shanzer anything, 1-8-PRAGER-7, well, not anything. I mean, you know, I don't think he takes questions on Social Security policy right now. But if you want to ask him about Hamas and Fatah and the whole Middle East, please feel free to call in. 1-8-PRAGER-776. Is that right, Jonathan? You're not taking questions on Social Security right now?
I am not, but I will actually take questions on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Are you an Eagles fan?
Yes, I am.
Why? Are you originally from Philadelphia?
I am, from right outside
All
of
right.
Philadelphia.
So you must have gone nuts yesterday.
Absolutely.
Is it a double pleasure when it's the when it's a New York team beaten?
Oh, absolutely. Any team, actually, from the NFC East. So it was.
Oh,
I
see.
It was it was a very sweet win.
By the way, what do you think? I know this is off track, but I'm terribly curious. I am a hockey and baseball fan of the four major sports, but obviously I get interested around the Super Bowl time. The dancing and prancing in the end zone on a touchdown, does that turn you off, or are you totally inured to it by now?
I don't even notice it anymore. Although every once in a while somebody does something so idiotic that you cringe. Donovan McNabb yesterday, when he was on the Giants sideline, went and picked up the phone on the Giants side. when he was pushed out of bounds, that was completely idiotic and there was no reason for it. So every once in a while, even NFL players will surprise me.
I didn't see that particular advance of football conduct. I missed that. All right. Anyway, everybody has their sports weakness. Is it for you? Is it the Phillies as well?
Not as much the Phillies, although I have to say it was obviously a terrific fall. I'm a rabid Eagles fan and a rabid Flyers fan.
Oh, I just saw the Flyers because I'm a Kings fan. Yeah, I'm probably the only Kings fan you've ever spoken to.
Well, in about 15 years, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. I have season tickets. All right, we'll talk about that another time. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Now, let's move on here. As I understand what you're saying about Fatah and Hamas, the only difference vis-a-vis the world and vis-a-vis peace in Israel is minuscule, and the real difference is internal. One is Islamist, one is secular. One is listed as terrorist, even though both should be, and one is more corrupt than the other. Fatah's more corrupt than Hamas, one presumes. Is that a fair synopsis of what you're saying?
Yeah, it absolutely is, and that's what readers find very surprising. You know, you read the book and you come away with the notion that neither group really deserves to inherit a state. Both have histories steeped in blood, Israeli blood. Both organizations are just simply Machiavellian in their approach to trying to, maintain power inside the territories. Hamas is just unable to govern because it is an organization that was founded just in order to carry out suicide attacks against Israel. Fatah attempted to be a government and failed miserably. Ended up stealing millions and millions of dollars from the Palestinian people, and only
hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Well, we don't know actually how many millions.
Arafat alone. What did Arafat have in Swiss banks?
Well, they're saying hundreds of millions of dollars, but this is according to estimates. Nobody has actually seen how much money he had that he ended up giving to his wife and squirreled away. We don't know how much he actually had stolen from the Palestinian people. But in the end, I think both organizations have demonstrated very clearly that neither of them are prepared to rule the Palestinian territories. And one of the
Forgive me, but isn't the bottom line here that the vast majority of Palestinians have not made peace in their minds with the existence of a Jewish state of Israel?
That is the nutshell of the Arab-Israeli conflict right
now. Okay, fine. Okay. We'll explain that as soon as we come back. His book is Hamas versus Fatah, even Kirkus Reviews, which is quite left of center, thought it a terrific book. Back in a moment. You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show. So much to talk to Jonathan Schanzer about that we're going to have a second visit. I just love the clarity of the book and of the man here. He has written Hamas versus Fatah. Please understand, the verses is not about ends, it's about means, folks. And what I ended with was the point that I have made in writing and in lecturing and on the radio over and over. The Middle East conflict is not complex. It is complex to solve. It is not complex to understand. The enemies of Israel want Israel dead. That is pretty much all you need to know. I guess the only other thing you need to know is that Israel doesn't want to die. That's it. Hamas wants Israel dead. Fatah wants Israel dead. Hamas wants an Islamic state. Fatah wants a more secular state. Hamas wants to send missiles over right now. Fatah wants to wait and bide its time. Is that a fair synopsis, Jonathan Schanzer?
That is absolutely fair. I think you summed it up very accurately right there. The only other thing that I would add, Dennis, is that, a lot of people would ask on top of that, well, why don't the Palestinians have a state? And I think that you can build off of what you just said to answer that. And that is, the Palestinians are so interested in destroying Israel their goals are so focused on the destruction of the state of Israel that they have spent virtually no time thinking about what they even want their state to look like. And that also sums up the Palestinian problem.
What do you think, and a final question here, what do you think the average Gazan will conclude from the Israeli attack of the last couple of weeks?
I think that if Israel finishes what it started, they will all come to the conclusion that this was not a good idea to have Hamas in power. This was not a good idea to allow Hamas to be the rulers of the Gaza Strip, that it only brought them bloodshed. However, if Israel pulls back, if it listens to the United Nations, if it listens to the outcries on the streets of London or New York from the Palestinian protesters, and they finish, or they don't finish what they started, if Hamas lives to fight another day, then the
how could Hamas not live to fight another day?
Israel will need to break its back. And if you think about what happened in the 1980s with the PLO, Israel invaded Lebanon and forced the PLO out and put them in exile in Tunisia. This is essentially what needs to happen. Either the leaders of Hamas need to be assassinated, or they need to be ousted from the Gaza Strip. If they live to fight another day, if they maintain control of the Gaza Strip, then the people of Gaza will sit there and say, well, you know what, Israel couldn't defeat this Hamas army. It therefore earns my respect. And that is really what's at risk right now.
You're asking of Israel, I think, the impossible. All you need are a handful of Hamas leaders to survive. For all we know, they left the Gaza, or they're in some underground tunnel somewhere, and then they'll come out and say, oh, they didn't get us, we win. The criteria for an Israeli victory seem to be too high.
Well, no, I think you're right. I mean, you can't get everybody, and that's for sure. But I'll add one other thought to that. I actually just read a report today that Israel has determined that the Hamas leadership is now living underground underneath the Shifa hospital in the Gaza Strip, and that's why Israel's not able to get a lot of those leaders. But the point is that, you know, Gaza has been the governing power, or Hamas has been the governing power in Gaza. If Israel is able to break that rule, if it's such that Hamas cannot come back to rule Gaza, Israel will have won.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal.
Which would mean then withdrawing and attacking and withdrawing and attacking.
Well, no, it would mean finding some other way to make sure that somebody else governs Gaza, whether it's, and I'm not saying I recommend any of these things, but the international community or Fatah or having Israel back in there, but in other words, not letting Hamas come back to rule.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, and I'm not saying that any of these answers are going to be easy, but if Hamas comes back to rule, then the people of Gaza will say it won. And that's essentially what happened with Hezbollah in the 2006 war. Because it lived to fight another day, it was seen as victorious against the mighty Israeli army. This is what Israel cannot afford to let happen.
All right, folks, the book is up at PragerRadio.com, Hamas versus Fatah. And this is Jonathan Chanzer. Thank you, Jonathan, and I look forward to a repeat.
Thank you, Dennis.
You're very welcome.